Okay, time to just jump in. No time like the present. Hello, I'm back with another patron Q&A after only 2.5 months this time. The once monthly Q&A, which I think I did about two or three of this year. I'm back to, still not monthly, but hasn't been that long, and that's good. I feel like monthly was probably too frequent. There's not a new thing to talk about every month. Now I got the procrastinators to talk about stuff on, but this is it's December 1st, and I'm gonna talk about stuff, what's been going on since I finished the video. The big video I've been teasing for months and months is finally out, and that's going good. It did really well. It did better than I expected. I expected that it would get, well, let's see. The most recent two, like, well, not the most recent videos, technically, but the most recent, like, what I would call real videos, like YouTube content, the lectures, were the Kokoro Wish and, what was the other one? Sonichi 102. And those both did, those both have, like, 250K. They have more than views, and they've been out for, what, like, 1 year and 2 years or something. I expected that this one would do, I expected it would do similarly. I kind of expected that it would eventually get 200K views. I expected that it would, I told myself I was going to be happy as long as it got at least 100K. It was like, all right, even if it doesn't do gangbusters or, you know, blow my old stuff out of the water, I'll be super happy. I'll just be happy if it 100,000 views. Is a decent amount. Well, it has gotten 200. It's 2 weeks since launch. Not even 2 weeks. It's like 11 days since launch, and it is already at 200K. So that's really good. It will, I feel like it will eventually, I think it will probably eventually pass the Tales Gets Trolled lecture in views. I think it will soon pass, Kokoro Wish and Sonichi 102 in views. It is actually, it has more comments already than, most, it's view to comment ratio is really high, which probably means something. It's got more comments than Sonichi 102, got more comments than Kokoro Wish, got more comments. Yeah, it's got more comments than any video other than Sonichi 101, which, I mean, has 1.6 million views, so. I don't know if I could expect this video to ever pass that one. Sure, it would be really nice, though. That would make hecka ad revenue. So yeah, video exceeded my expectations considerably, and I'm really happy that it is doing well. And this has, you know, this has confirmed my suspicions that, you know, leaning into the lectures, which was my most popular stuff and the most popular thing. You know, I talked to Nate on the phone at Thanksgiving. He was with his girlfriend, so I didn't see him in person, but with their family. But I talked to him on the phone at Thanksgiving, and I told him, like, you know, I decided to lean into this lecture thing because it was the most not only the most popular thing that I ever did in terms of, like, numbers, views, the most popular thing that pretty much anyone in the PCP ever did at all. And the thing that came out of the PCP period, because, you know, we did them at RadCons. Unless you count, like, the Digi Asterisk War Sucks video. Those might have gotten a few million. So, I don't, maybe it's not, that might be, whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is, I told him that this was, I told him why I was leaning into it. And he was like, yep, that's right, that's good. And I was like, yes, it is. right, anyway. So, right. So the video outperforming my expectations tells me that I made the right decision and my logic was sound. And, you know, I decided to do this partially for, you know, mercenary reasons, partially for, you know, just following the numbers, chasing clout, chasing trends, you know, the numbers, the analytics, the sabermetrics say, lecture content does really good. Go, go, go. Like, yeah, it was calculated, but I don't say that cynically. It's not, I don't feel like I did it very cynically, because, you know, I the numbers show me that there is an audience for this kind of thing, but also I am that audience and I like this kind of stuff, and I watch really long videos. I watch all the Action Button reviews. I've watched Patrician TV's Elder Scrolls videos. I've watched I watch Quentin Reviews, stupid iCarly stuff. So and I like it. So, like, you know, I am the audience that I was you know, cynically courting with my mercenary business decisions. So I hope that makes sense. Now that the lecture's done, now that it's out, you know, I've just been watching the analytics. We had my family Thanksgiving. That was good. Just watching the analytics, watching numbers go up the whole time, feeling pretty good about it. I think it peaked. It was gaining 30K views a day for a minute there. I think it's down to more like under 15K a day now, and it will probably start to cool off a little bit, which is, you know, I'll miss it. I'll miss it, but it's okay. It has to happen sometimes. And who knows, maybe next time there's a big Mega Man when they finally release X9 or announce X9, maybe it'll get a big bump from that. That would be cool. So anyway, I have been thinking about next lectures, because I said I was going to do more of these, and I should, obviously. And I talked a little bit about potential ideas I have for maybe what the next lecture will be on the latest, as of right now, the latest episode of the PCP, episode 337, I think. I still haven't decided. I think I got questions about this down below, so I'll wait before I get into it. Before I do anything, though, before I really dive into another lecture project, I really do want to finish the book, Slime and Punishment book. You know, I kind of put that aside to do this this video, and, you know, that went pretty well, and now it's time to, okay, I gotta buckle down. I've told myself that my goal is to have the book, like, have the files done and sent off to a printer by the end of the year, so before Christmas, basically. So I have a couple weeks to do that. I don't know how long it'll take them to print me a test copy and send them to me, because I don't even know what printer I'm going to use yet. But yeah, my goal is settle on a printer, pick a printer, finish putting together the files. It's taken quite a while, but I actually got quite a bit done yesterday, and if I keep the pace up, I can probably... If I could do as much as I did yesterday, I think it would only take me a few more days of that caliber, a few more work days as good as yesterday was, to get it basically done. Oh, I gotta draw the I forgot to draw the cover. It shouldn't be too hard. I have it like half drawn. But anyway, it's not that far from being done. And I think getting it all sorted and sending the files to a printer this by the end of the year is quite doable, and hopefully they'll get me a test copy within a couple weeks of me sending it off. And then assuming the test copy looks good, I mean, that would be it. It would be like, okay, time to do the Kickstarter. I would want to maybe record like a video announcement for it, which would be a little bit of work. But I mean, I've done lots of preliminary work for it, so I have a lot of the setup stuff, like a lot of the like secondary merch that I would want to include as like bonus options. Like I already have all that. I don't really have to do a lot of setup for it. So that's what I need to do before I work on another lecture. But anyway, is there anything else that I want to say before I go into questions? And I know some questions were about lecture topics. I can't think of anything. And it's only been 9 minutes, and I'm already floundering. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm focused. I'm laser focused. I know what I have to do. And it's finish the book. and then start another lecture. And, you know, since I haven't, maybe while I'm working on the book, I'll dwell a little more on it, and I'll come to some final conclusion about lecture topic, because I need to choose one finally. I have some ideas. I haven't really picked one yet. Damn. I feel like I'm stupid for not having more to say update wise, but like, that's it, really. All right, I'm sure I'll say more in the questions. Let's get into them. Where did I? All right. I'll just read these in. Okay, I'm gonna. Let me pick these in whatever order I darn well feel like. I'm going to do IPI, your question first, because it's Slime and Punishment related, and I was just talking about that. Is Phantom Horn from Chapter 5 Deluge of Slime and Punishment the same one we see at the end of the game? Are there just two Phantom Horns and a story or more? Okay, so pretty sure you're asking if Deluge is the one where there's the rain and then the Phantom in the purple jacket gets dissolved into a skeleton by the bicarbonate rain, right? No, that is not the Phantom at the end of, what's the game called? Phantom's Revenge. I apologize if you know this already, but I'll try to be as thorough as possible. That Phantom at the end of Phantom's Revenge, the one with the blue horn, is the Phantom from an alt, okay. There are not just two Phantoms. There are as many Phantoms as there were, you know, when there's the zoom out during Estrovert and you see the big timeline that's split into all the little tendrils, there's a Phantom for each of those. Most of them are dead. Most of them died in the rain or in some other way. The one from the Alpha, no, the Beta Prime timeline. Well, okay. The one there that died in the rain. Well, okay. Actually, darn. Okay, there's a little bit of a. Oh, right. There's a little bit of bullshit because I said. I think in the comic they say that you get. That people get zucked by the rain, and that's a little bit of like a mistake because technically the rain doesn't zuck anyone. The rain kills you, but then you can be revived by. You can be revived by Endless War. Like, you can revive once you get killed. In like, the actual game, in the Discord game, Endless War, getting killed by the rain just kills you, and you can come back. Maybe it could be different in the comic, but I think you might as well say it's the same, and I think you get, quote-unquote, zucked by the rain only if you die from it, and then also, like, the rain kills Endless War. Like, in the Alpha timeline, there is no more slime at all, and Endless War is dead. Like, the obelisk that was Endless War was destroyed. The rain killed all the slime, and in doing so, Endless War perished and the obelisk crumbled. I suppose we never see that in the comic, but that's what would happen. So in many timelines, that is what happened, and Phantom was killed by the rain and was not able to revive and is gone. And I think that's what happened to that Phantom in the blue or in the purple jacket. In the Beta Prime timeline, that's the one that you see, he is at the, he goes and he sees Captain Albert Alexander and the world breaks apart and he goes floating and he gets picked up by, this is really funny. I know that I've gotten some new patrons from the lecture, and like, thank you very much for patroning. I'm sorry if like you're not familiar with what I'm talking about. This was, I should have explained. This was a comic that I did about 2 years ago, and I'm making it into a book. I'm going to do a Kickstarter to get it physically printed as a book, and it is about my. Like, in the lecture, I mentioned the pony days. Well, Phantom Horn was my OC from the pony days. There is a connection to Sonichu and Christine Weston Chandler that I don't want to explain. You know what? Ask me a question. If you want to know more about this, ask a question in response to this Q&A, and I'll go more into depth if anyone wants to hear that. But anyway, let me get back to IPI's question. Yes, the Beta Prime one was the one that drifted and got picked up by Chris Chansonishu and went to the Alpha timeline, etc., etc. The one in the The one in The Phantom's Revenge is the one... Well, it would just be from another Beta timeline. Not the Beta Prime timeline, but some other one where instead of dying in the rain... actually, no. I think he's the one from the Alpha timeline. Yes, the one in the Alpha timeline where Endless War was killed and the city was de-slimed. In that timeline, if you know, Chris drew a bunch of cards... Twilight Sparkle secret shipfic folder cards about, like, showing what happened to Phantom Horn and Strawberry Milk. And what happened to them, according to these illustrations that she did on these cards, was that Christian Sonichu came and basically took them from New Los Angeles City, aka Neo Milwaukee, and brought them back to Ponyville. And yeah, then the rainstorm came and de-slimed the city. So they were like brought away and their slime was removed in a safe fashion that did not kill them. And then Phantom Horn was given this blue podrin that gave him literally a Phantom Horn, a sort of glowing, ghostly, magical pseudo unicorn horn. So yeah, the Phantom you fight at the end of Phantom's Revenge is the Phantom from the Alpha timeline. Yes. I forgot that that is the case, but it is. I think I might even say it in the game. I think there's a dialogue box where your Phantom asks, like, are you from this timeline or no? I don't remember if it gets remarked on in the game, but that's the intention. Yeah, he's from the de-slimed Alpha timeline, but Chris Chan took him out of the city before the city was de-slimed, so he didn't die, but his slime was removed. I think I've explained it well enough. Thanks for the good question though. Always, like to, clarify that stuff. There are, theoretically, there could be other Phantom Horns, just like, you know, the Beta Prime Phantom survived till the end of his timeline and then his timeline broke apart and he just drifted. There could be other Phantoms and anyone this could happen to, just floating out there in the void. And I like to think, and I wondered sometimes if, like, I wonder if this is maybe how, like, slime propagates itself throughout the multiverse. Like, a slime being can survive in the void. And so if there's, like, a big timeline explosion, like there was in this timeline, and it splinters off into all these Beta timelines, and some of the slime beings, like, you know, survive and just get, like, shot off into the void, just flew through the void, I wonder if maybe they land in other timelines and, like, plant, or like a seed, if you will, like they sort of plant their seed in a new timeline and spread slime anew. It's possible. Thank you for that question. Fun to answer. Okay. Next, I'll answer the Tommynator 27 asks, "Hey, I'm pretty new here. I spent my entire..." Sorry for that explanation that I'm sure you did not have any context for it, Tommy. "I spent my entire shift at work last week listening to the Mega Man video. I just want to say you've scratched a big old itch of mine with that." Well, thank you very much. I'm glad. "I just want to ask if you think you have any more 8-hour videos in you, because I can promise I'll watch them at least. Also, I don't know if you know the answer, but do you get anything from me downloading the video through YouTube Premium, or does all my view time need to be online for it to count?" I'll answer the second question first. I think I do get something if you download it through YouTube. I don't use YouTube Premium. I don't really know how it works, but I know that when I look at my analytics, it shows me like YouTube ad revenue and YouTube Premium revenue. I don't know how YouTube Premium is calculated. I don't know if it's through watch time or downloads or what, but if you engage with my video in some way through YouTube Premium, I guess that generates revenue somehow. I don't really know the details, but I mean, don't worry about it one way or another. It's fine. Do whatever you download it as an MP3 if you want. It's okay. So do I have any more 8-hour videos in me? Well, I'm not planning to make another 8-hour video. I mean, I didn't really expect the Mega Man video to be 8 hours long. It kind of just, that's just the length it ended up being. I have the other topics I've been thinking of. I don't think any of the ones that I would likely do would be 8 hours long. Like, I don't think so. But I don't know for sure until I did them. Maybe some of them could end up being 8 hours long. I would expect not. I'm not anticipating that my next video will be another 8 hour. I would be perfectly content if I did another one and it was 2 hours on something a little bit less, something a little bit narrower in scope. Also because, I mean, the Mega Man lecture, in addition to just being a lot of video to film and to edit, the preparation for it took so long because I had to play 45 games and that took a long time. And I had to make notes about all of them, and that took a long time. So I would like for the next one to not only be shorter, but definitely to be something I have to put less, like, prep work into, hopefully. So I wouldn't expect the next one to be quite as long. But you never know, and sometimes things spiral out of control and become bigger than you anticipated, like the Mega Man lecture did. So can't really say for sure. All right, I'll answer these two. Dane Bramage asked, "Hi Ben, I love the lecture. Would you consider doing a Sonic lecture? Because both Sonichu and Tales Gets Trolled were heavily influenced by it, and I know nothing about Sonic." And, you know, I'll also answer, Venic NV asks, "Are you interested in doing a Metal Gear lore lecture?" I have pretty much the same answer to both of these questions. Okay, so despite the fact that, like, I've done the big videos talking about Sonichu and Tales Gets Trolled, so I think some people, I don't know if you are under this impression, but I know there have been other people who have been under the impression that I must be, like, a Sonic guy, and I'm not. I've literally never played a Sonic game in my entire life. I think I played, like, a little bit of Sonic and Knuckles at a friend's house on his Genesis when I was, like, a little kid. I've never played a Sonic game. I don't know the first thing about Sonic. And, I mean, I just know the same thing everyone knows. No, I watched Nate play Sonic Adventure 2, I think. Anyway, so I don't know that much about it. So, with a Sonic lecture, I would pretty much be starting from zero. Which is fine. That's not a deal breaker. I guess it's not that I would never do it, but I'm not, it's not something that I have a pre, like, established interest in, so I was not considering it. Although there probably would be enough. I mean, I guess much like Mega Man, there's the games themselves, and then there's the, like, I mean, you know, there's the different cartoon series each have their own canon. I would have to pick, like, which am I gonna talk about? And if I did the games, is there enough to talk about in the games? I genuinely don't know. So, anyway, not something that I have much knowledge about. So, maybe? Possible? If people voted for it, whenever we finally hit 100 patrons and I do the patrons choose a lecture, then absolutely I would, and I'm sure I could make a lecture out of it. And the same thing pretty much goes for Metal Gear. I have only played most of the first Metal Gear Solid game. And I think I played one on the Game Boy. I don't know which one. No, I played I'm thinking of the 007 game on the Game Boy. Lol, that's different. I don't know very much about Metal Gear either. I mean, I know generally what it's about, but I haven't played most of the games, and so I would be starting from zero. There probably is a lecture, and I mean, I'm sure there's a lecture's worth of lore in there to talk about. So it could be done. Was I thinking about it? No. That's my answer for both of those. Now let me, okay, Matt HDB asks, "Are you worried about exploding?" So, do you mean literally? In which case, not really. It seems unlikely. If you mean figuratively, like, am I worried about that, like, my numbers are going to go crazy, my channel is going to get huge, and I'm going to be famous? No. That would be good. That would actually be good if that happened. Because that means I would make lots of money. Make lots of money. Yeah. I like the money. Italian Elon Musk. Okay. So no, that would be good, actually, if I figuratively exploded. If I literally exploded, that would be bad. But it seems... I think I'm more likely to figuratively explode than I am to literally explode, which is a good place to be in, stats-wise, statistically speaking. Yeah, I want to be huge and powerful. I feel like that sufficiently answers that. And then the last question I got here is Prince Isolation. It's the biggest question, so I saved it for last. I know you're hoping for your Patreon to hit 100 and for others to choose a lecture topic, but do you have any inklings of your own about what you could do a lecture about? Yeah. Well, I talked about this on the PCP this week, but since you're specifically asking, I will talk about it again. I had a little document that I had written a bunch of ideas down for, like, maybe I could do a lecture about this. And here, I'll tell you everything that was on that lecture. It was, one, Ulalilia. And I think that would be a pretty short lecture, because I could include, like, synopses of his books, of which I have read both, and they are... Honestly, they wouldn't take that long to really recap. I mean, I did the read-along of the 10 Elemental Masters video that nobody watched. And, like, that was fine. I could sum it up much quicker than that if I wanted to. And it would be, you know, it would be fine. And then in addition to that, I would talk about, you know, his old website that used to have all his, like, dream journals and stuff. I don't really know how I would structure a lecture about Ulalilia. I'm a little iffy on that idea. Just like, because my goal with the lectures is generally to explain the lore of like a series, you know, like a fictional series. And, it, you know, the Sonichu lectures were not solely about talking about Chris. They were about Sonichu, the comic, explaining the story of the comics. And Ulalilia, I mean, yeah, if I wanted to do that with him, it would just be the two books. And those are just not that involved. Like, there's not really that much to talk about going on there. Pretty straightforward, honestly. The next one on the list was Dieth and Strix. And this is a weird out-of-pocket choice that was somewhat relevant when I wrote this down and is no longer relevant. And in case you don't know... Dieth and Strix are the Dungeons and Dragons characters of Pro Jared and Holly. What's her name? Is it Holly Mason? Whatever. Rubber Ross's former wife, who Pro Jared cheated on his wife with, and I think they're still together now. I don't know if they're married or whatever. At the time of the Pro Jared drama, this was like a really, like, I thought it would be really funny to. Because the history there is that they, Pro Jared had a D&D podcast, and Holly, I don't know if she had her own D&D podcast. I think she might have had a separate one, but, or she might have made a character to guest on a different D&D podcast. But the point is that the two of them sometimes ended up playing their characters on the Penny Arcade D&D podcasts, what is it called? Adventures Incorporated. Sometimes, just because they both had, like, connections among the same circles, sometimes they ended up playing their character. And Dieth and Strix had sort of, like, they sort of, like, flirted and sort of became... They had, like, a weird fucking star-crossed lovers romance in the game. And so I thought it would be really funny... to talk about, like, who the history of Dieth and the history of Strix, like, each of their individual characters, who they are, their lore, and then, you know, the story of, like, how did their characters in the game meet in the context of playing with fucking Mike and Jerry on Adventures Incorporated. Like, what a weird twist of fate that is. So, As I'm saying this now, as I'm explaining it, I'm sort of hyping myself up on it because it's a really interesting concept. It's an interesting premise. But I fear that, like, the reality of actually explaining it might not be interesting because, you know, I would pretty much just be explaining the plot of a D&D campaign. And, like, is that interesting? I don't know. I'm not sure. So that is there's something to that one, but I don't know if I would do it in 2022 after nobody gives a shit about Pro Jared cheating on his wife anymore. The next one was Nuzlocks, and that would be like the idea there would not, like, everybody knows Nuzlocke started as that comic, and I guess I could explain. No, I probably wouldn't explain the story of the comic because the comics are pretty much just the stories of the games. I think the idea was that I would explain not like how Nuzlocks became famous, like how the idea of them proliferated from the comics. Like, yeah, the guy made the comic about them, but then who was the first one? Was it other people reading the comics and then doing their own and then making comics about their own, you know, Pokemon hard mode, as it was called back then. And then I think maybe did some certain of these fan comics get popular, and then maybe from that community was like the first, you know, at some point YouTubers started doing Nuzlocks, and that became a thing that it spread beyond the, you know, just the casual person playing Pokemon demographic and became sort of a genre of content. So yeah, I guess the idea would be to explore how that happened, and I don't know if there's like an interesting story there or not because I haven't researched it yet, but it was an idea. The next one was Andrew Dobson, who is another sort of, I wouldn't say he's Chris Chan-esque, but he is another lolcow who was a pretty much a bad cartoonist. A bad cartoonist with a lot of very cringe opinion. I would call him Movie Bob-esque in his like takes on like society and stuff. And he draws himself. He's very much a nice guy, like why do girls like assholes instead of nice guys like me sort of dude. At some point he switched to drawing himself as a little blue Care Bear. Kind of like with Ulalilia, I'm not really sure there's like a lecture there, because like I guess I could tell the guy's life story, but I don't know if it's even that interesting. Yeah, I'm not. I think Andrew Dobson is funny. I think he is a big dweeb and he could be funny, but I don't know if I would actually want to do a lecture just talking about on a real guy, because he hasn't made like any big. He does cartoons. He does like 4-panel cartoons. He's like sort of like political cartoons type of stuff, or like commentary things. He hasn't made like a big work of fiction that I could dissect the plot of. And then next on the list was Mega Man, which I did. And then the one after that was Strip Search, which was a show on, well, it was run by, again, Penny Arcade. It was a Penny Arcade run reality show where they invited like a dozen comic artists, like independent comic art. People had to apply to be on this reality show. And basically they got these comic artists together in like a Big Brother house, and they had them do challenges to, you know, eliminate one another. And I explained this on the PCP, but I'll explain it again. And they had the point of it was meant to be like Mike and Jerry tried to run it in like a very cutthroat, like make these people hate each other, like make them go at each other's throats and kill each other. They thought that would be funny, but they couldn't do it. They didn't have the chops. They didn't have the conviction. They gave up on that. Everybody became friends. Everybody was like, oh no, I don't want to eliminate. I don't want to win. I just want to be friends. And, very cute, very wholesome. And basically like a solid like third or maybe even a half of the people that were in the show, maybe probably more like a third, ended up either, some of them vanished without a trace. Some of them went on to be very successful in their own right. Like, I think the second place winner, Abby Howard, when she kickstarted the comic that she sort of created as part of the challenge on Strip Search, and it was successfully kickstarted, and then she drew the comic, and I think now she works as like an illustrator on like kids, like science books about nature for kids or something like that. So she's doing good. The winner was Katie Rice, who is interesting because she was one of the people that Me Too'd John Kricfalusi, the Ren and Stimpy guy. Like, she was not the main grooming victim of John Kricfalusi, but she was, John Kricfalusi attempted to groom her for like a while. So, you know, she was known for that, and she's a very good cartoonist. She did a webcom. She won, and her prize for it was that she got to make a new. She got to make her own webcomic, and Penny Arcade hosted her webcomic, and it was called Camp We Don't Wantcha, and it was not a huge hit. It was fine. It kind of just kind of came and went without any great fanfare. I'm not even sure if it's still going or if it went on infinite hiatus or something. Whatever. A bunch of other people just got like nepotismed into like a cushy job within the Penny Arcade empire, and I don't like them anymore, and now I resent them for it. So I don't know. Yeah, what was Strip Search and like the Strip Search diaspora and where are these people now was one idea. The next one was, what about like Phantom Horn? And which, if you don't know, the character Phantom Horn from my old My Little Pony reviews, who I recently met, not even that recently anymore, who I somewhat recently completed a comic series / game, who he was the main character of. I had an idea to, I don't know if it would be a lecture video. I don't know if it would be a lecture, but I had an idea to make a video explaining like who Phantom was, what was the concept behind him, and then sort of picking apart ways that I succeeded in what I sought out to do with him and things that I think I did wrong with him, or mistakes that I made, or like things I would do differently now. Because the deal with Phantom Horn, it's a little embarrassing. It's a little embarrassing, but like, I'll be honest, at the time he was sort of a mean caricature of like a ridiculous SJW who like takes social justice too far. and in hindsight, that's pretty cringe, but you know, there were times when I think I took his character and I think I said something that I would still agree with to this day. And there are other times that I think I either would not make that joke, or I would, at least frame it differently. And you know, this is what this video would be about: would be picking apart things like that and be like, here's what I was trying to say, or here's why I don't agree with this joke anymore. Here's why I wouldn't make that anymore if I knew then what I know now. But anyway, so that's a Phantom Horn, maybe not a lecture, but a video was an idea. I don't know why I put it on the lecture ideas list. Kirby was an idea. Kirby, you know, Kirby has lore. Kirby has, you know, I mean, Wooly did those Prepare to High videos where he explained the lore of Kirby. I think it's kind of like everybody kind of knows that Kirby has like some insane lore. And I'm not really sure if Kirby games have like continuity in the same way that like Mega Man does. So I'm not sure if it lends itself quite as well to being explained in lecture format. And I mean, those Wooly videos already exist and they're really good and they explain the lore perfectly fine. So I don't know. I feel like that one probably could be a lecture, but I don't know if maybe that would be treading on ground that is like already, like it's already, like everybody already knows this stuff. I feel like Kirby fights against Eldritch Abominations stuff is like more like everybody knows that. Gamers know that. The Mega Man stuff, I mean, I don't think everybody knows that like the Earth was destroyed in Mega Man universe by like a space colony crash caused by the Sigma virus. Like, I don't think most people know that. Only like real head Mega Man fans know that stuff. But anyway, it was on the list. And then the last thing on the list that I had was Infinite Jest, explaining the plot of Infinite Jest, which is a very dense and somewhat convoluted novel by David Foster Wallace, which is told out of chronological order. And there's sort of a, there's, you sort of have to put the pieces together of like what happened in, there's some stuff that isn't, that you have to kind of figure out happened that never actually happens in the book. You just kind of have to take what the book gives you and like deduce like, ah, I see. So in between this time and that time, this is what must have occurred. And that could make, that would probably not be a long lecture, but it would be, I think that could, I mean, I'd have to reread the book, which would take a while. That could be something for a lecture format. I feel like, I haven't even looked. I wonder if there are already like the plot of Infinite Jest Explained video. Let me look right now. Let me just look it up right now and see what I find. Infinite Jest Explained. First review, plot summary of Infinite Jest by Caleb Smith, 37,000 views. Then there's a 60-second book review. Then there's an 8-minute video of why do people hate it. This one is this 20. This plot summary is 20 minutes long. Maybe I'll watch that and see. That's like the only one. Damn, I mean. On YouTube, but there's not really, I'm not really seeing much in ways of like Infinite Jest Explained. I don't know. So maybe there's a niche to be filled there. But I mean, not as many people are fans of Infinite Jest as are fans of Mega Man. So like, I don't know what like the reach on a video like that one is. Okay, that was my list, but I skipped over one. And I skipped over it because it's the way I'm leaning. And maybe, I'm not sure how people are going to feel about this. But I think the way that I'm leaning right now is that I kind of think that the one... Oh, wait. Sorry. I almost didn't say Battle Network. Like, obviously some people have asked, like, I should do one on Battle Network. And similarly to how I feel about Sonic the Hedgehog and Metal Gear, I don't know anything about Battle Network other than that I'm... Well, actually... I watched a YouTube video of all the cutscenes, so I have not played, but I have seen the entire story of the first Battle Network game. So I know what happens in Battle Network 1, and then I know there are, what, like, two more, and then I think there are, like, two Star Force games. I don't know anything about them much. I am interested because, I mean, they tie into the Mega Man stuff, and I'm sure it would be interesting to see... Because I know they can, there are tons of like references and like characters that have the same name and are a reference to something in the original. I know it's like that. I am interested in that. I feel a little bit burnt out on Mega Man right now. I don't know if I would want to jump into that. I definitely think I probably should do that at some point. Maybe not right away. So I think I am going to do that one, but I don't know when. The thing I think I should do next, and again, I don't know if anyone is going to like this, me, but it would be something called like the downfall of Digibro and the history of the PCP and or the Brony lecture, and new patrons that might not be familiar with some of my personal lore are surely scratching their heads. And that's okay, I apologize. But basically the idea would be explaining what happened sort of behind this, not even really that much behind the scenes. Most of it was public, but like a whole bunch of drama that happened around basically the self-destruction, the implosion of the career of a somewhat famous YouTuber called Digibro. And the Procrastinators podcast, which me and that person were on together, and there was a whole other cast of characters that were involved. And I think I find myself thinking about that one a bunch. I think that like nobody, you know, I see comments. Whenever I see comments, like people that should know, people that are like interested, and people that were like a big fan of this person, like genuinely don't know, and they misunderstand what happened there. And it's like, I feel like someone should set the record straight, and nobody's doing it, and I feel like maybe it has to be me. And this is not a lecture I would want to be 8 hours long. I think this one I could probably do in 2 hours or less. So I think maybe I might try to do that as like a quick, as kind of a quick in between, as like maybe the next one after the book is done, maybe early next year, I spend a little time putting that together. And maybe after that, I would do Battle Network. Maybe. I don't know. That's where I'm leaning. That's just where, like, that's where my heart is leading me. You know, sometimes you just find yourself coming back to the same ideas, the same thoughts over and over. You keep thinking, there's one thing you keep, your mind keeps returning to. And generally when that happens, my MO is to be like, well, I guess I should do that. Even if I can't think of like a really excellent reason to do it. Just like the fact that I keep thinking about it tells me like, I should probably do that. And right now that's the PCP lecture, Downfall of Digibro, aka the Brony lecture. So that's where I'm at right now. But again, I'm not really going to start working on it in earnest until the book is done, which should be pretty soon. Anyway, your question continued. By the way, leave me comments if you think that's a terrible idea. But feel free to tell me. If you think that's a good idea, tell me. Anything else that you think I've said that you agree with, disagree with, are interested to hear more of an explanation from me about, please. And, you know, if there's a ton of, if there's like, this is probably not going to happen, but if there were like a ton of questions, if there were like a bunch of new patrons and like a deluge of questions, be like, Ben, please explain this to me. I don't understand this. If I got like 30 questions on this thing, on this post, I would probably not even wait a month to make a second queue. I would just make another one and just answer those. So, you know, if you got questions, ask them and I will answer them soon, unless there's not many, and then maybe I'll take my time. All right. I don't want to keep you waiting any longer. So let me get back to that question. There was more to that question. Prince Isolation continues. Also, since you've said before you don't have any strong new comic ideas and that you sometimes miss working with others on joint projects, have you ever considered illustrating a comic or something with a separate writer on board? Not necessarily on commission, but perhaps rather in collaboration. Seems like you have at least some friends who do writing, so who knows if it could become an option. You could become the full female chubby goth and male jock comic with Meriwether Lamau. I would consider doing something like that. Yeah, yeah, I would not have anything against just working as an illustrator, you know, as long as I was getting paid a rate that I found worth the time. I don't know if Mary would want me to do that. Mary's comics are very anime, and they're very like pinup sexy ladies, and that's not really, neither of those really describes my drawings, although, I mean, I guess I could try to lean into it, but, like, eh. But I would draw for someone if they had a story that I believed in, and I thought this was a great story, and I would like to be a part of this project, and also I was getting paid a rate that was not an embarrassment. But I don't know anyone who's hiring, who's offering something like that. But, I mean, I definitely would consider it. And then, finally, I really enjoyed the Mega Man lecture. I want to ask your favorite character in the series, but it's probably Zero Lamau. I think Copy X might be my favorite in the series because of his just pathos, because of how his high station in society juxtaposed with like just the abject pathos and failure of his existence is so compelling. So while Aston said who your favorite robot master is, P.S. it was really cute when you got emotional over Zero's death. You made me feel for him too. I love when stories reach emotional heights. Hope to read something like that someday in my own work. Zero's death is really sad. Good for him that he saved the world. Pretty much saved the world again, you know. And I'm sure he would have, I'm sure he'd be happy to accept death to do that. It's so, when you really, like, take a look, step back and look at the whole timeline, the story of Mega Man, at least X Onward, is really miserable. Because it's like, X and Zero both have, like, pretty much nothing. They have pretty much nothing good in their lives other than, I mean, Zero at least seems to enjoy fighting. He doesn't mind. X doesn't even like fighting, but he's just forced to do it over and over. He spends his whole life locked in conflict in this war that he can't stand it, but like he's the only guy. He's like the only guy who can fight it, so he has to do it. Zero at least initially at least doesn't mind fighting, but then after Iris dies, and especially after in the Zero games, like, he still fights, but he doesn't really seem to get any joy out of it at all. He just is like, he's just doing what he's got to do, and he's pretty much just strung along and like forced into one conflict after another after another after another, because there's no other choice and there's nobody else who can do it. And he just does that right up until he dies, and that's his whole life. So sad. My favorite robot master. I usually say Ringman, because he's just so weird. Like, why would you make a man about rings? Why rings? What a weird concept. I really like Strike Man because he's funny. I like that he's sports themed. That's just funny. I like Solar Man. I think he's cool. My favorite stage, he's not my favorite Robot Master, but my favorite stage is actually Nitro Man from 9 or 10, I forget. I actually really like the latter, the later Robot Masters in the classic series. Like, the ones in 9 and 10 are really good. They're top tier. Some of the best ever. I'm trying to think of any old ones that I really like. Ringman. And that's it. That's the last question. And damn. Last thing I remember, I was at 9 minutes in, and now I'm at 52 minutes in. I don't even remember what I've been doing for the last 43 minutes. But I guess I had something to say. And I answered all the questions. So, I mean, I hope that was elucidating. I hope you have gleaned some context or gleaned some interesting tidbits from all of this. Hope if you have any follow-up questions, just leave them in the comments and I'll get to them next time. And if there's a whole bunch, I don't even have to wait a month. I'll just answer them whenever there's a bunch and I feel like I should answer these. Yeah, and I hope you know, I'll do another one of these probably after the book is done, right? That's the next big step, is when I finish the book and I send it off to printers, then I will do whatever prep is left for the Kickstarter, because I don't need to have I don't need to have all the books printed to do the Kickstarter. All I need is a test copy. All I need is a copy to hold up and like show and be like, this is the book. This is what it's going to look like. I don't have to actually print like all the copies until the Kickstarter is over and I know how many I need. So yeah, like once the file is done and I send it off to the printer, then I'm just waiting for them to send me the copy. And then it's just whenever I get it, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm ready to go. Time to announce this bitch. So I guess, yeah, finish the book, draw the cover, find a printer, negotiate with them, send the files, and then while I'm waiting for the copy, I guess what I should be doing then is making the video. I have a couple ideas for what would constitute an announcement video. I think I want to make like one like regular announcement video, But then I think I would want to make a second announcement video that would go specifically on the TBAP channel. TBAP is the channel that Phantom Horn was from. That would be like Phantom Horn. It would be like Phantom Horn announcing that, like, he's in a comic, you know, to the pony audience. and then there'd be a separate one that I would put on my channel, probably. Okay. Thanks for your questions, everybody. And thanks for listening. And thank you for patroning. You know, old patrons who have been around, thank you very much for sticking around. And I hope you like the lecture. And I hope you're looking forward to more. And new patrons, you know, thank you so much for pledging. I said that I'll let people pick a lecture at 100 patrons. I think when the video went up, I lost like one or two. So I think I was at like 35, and now I'm at like 59 or 60. So, I mean, that's 25 new patrons. Like, that's good. That's really good. I mean, Crow is looking in the Discord server, was saying that, like, you know, something like a ratio of like views on the video to like conversion rate to patrons is like a 1 in 10,000 or something, right? It's like a 0.01%. So I mean, if the video eventually gets another 200,000 views over the next several months, maybe I'll get another 25. Oh, I did the Tim Rogers voice thing. Maybe I'll get another 25, and maybe then. Well, then I would be at 85, and then there would only be 15 left to go. So I'm thinking probably I won't hit that goal until after I've made at least one more of these lectures, which is fine. If I made one more lecture and then it was enough of a hit that I hit 100, I'd be like, damn, this shit is going absolutely swimmingly. Couldn't be better, really. Okay. Anyway, thank you for pledging, getting us close to that goal. That's all I'm trying to say. Really, it's only 40 more people. If 40 more people decided to pledge, even a dollar, because I didn't say like it has to be $5. I mean, thanks for pledging $5. Obviously, it makes a much bigger difference. So the reason why I gate this stuff behind the $5 tier is because, well, like, I appreciate the gesture of $1, but honestly, like, you know, the truth is, I feel like $1 is not very much. Plus, like, Patreon takes a cut, so it only ends up actually being like 85 cents or 90 cents a month, and it's like, you know, it's very nice. But it really takes quite a lot for that to add up. So $5, I feel like, is affordable. It's an affordable amount that is still not breaking anyone's bank, I hope. But it adds up a lot quicker, and so, like, I really appreciate the $5 pledges. But I didn't specify, so, you know, if 40 people decided to we'll all pledge $1. I mean, I guess, they're gonna totally troll me by pledging me money. It would be fine. I wouldn't even complain. But the system could be quote unquote cheated like that, and it would be. I want to do it. I want to hit 100. I want to be able to say, "Hey guys, I hit 100. I hit my goal." Just for its own sake, just being able to say, "I set a goal and I hoped I would reach it and I hit it." Just even aside from the extrinsic benefits of that, that would mean I would make more money. That's good. All right, I'm rambling. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I've wasted your time. I've wasted your time with this Q&A podcast. Anyway, I'll see you next time. Okay, bye. Thank you.